Now, one of the things to check at stations, one of the reasons we were able to do it at KPFA is that we're signed up so that people who get parking tickets could come in and work at our station. They work off their public, you know, community affairs at KPFA. I'm hoping every station has that, and if so, one of the jobs that parking ticket people should do is to manually go through and call up these people, find out how many people are at the place, and that's how you go about deduping. We did some of that, but it wasn't complete, and for me, the lists are a mess. The staff lists are a mess, and the membership lists are a mess. Lots of them don't have addresses, and even with the KPFA, which is the best list, by the way, even with that list, there are some problems. At the very end, for example, we have 15 people on the unpaid staff that we could not find addresses for. And some of these people are well-known. Mary Berg would know them. Richard would know them. And we don't have addresses for them. So this is this process I started in May, and I still don't have complete lists from every station. It certainly has to be looked at. I mean, again, I'll repeat, we're talking of 2,500 names at just KPFA that were dupes, and that means that people would have gotten two ballots, and that this is the first time, as far as I know, that that list has been cleaned up. And, you know, the total time took a couple of weeks. Gift memberships, yeah, we've talked about that. One problem is if they are just listed as gift memberships, the way the membership list is printed out, it should not be printing those out unless somebody says print them out anyway, and there's no hope for that. In other words, if they are listed just as gift memberships, they won't be printed out. If they are, if they're not listed as gift memberships, it doesn't make any difference because no matter how much we look at the list, they're not listed as gift memberships. So I don't know. I think that can be done, Carolyn. I think that can be done at WBAI, and I will work with Atieno to try to take care of that problem. I'm asterisking that too, because I will have at least a little breathing space, just a little breathing space after tomorrow, and I will put that down. And I will, you know, I know I've talked to you about that for months. And
yes, sir. Thank you.
Let's see, gift membership, not too late to do that.
Publication of decisions.
Oh, then the publication of decisions. I have been sending ever since the PNB meeting, I send them to the PNB, but I should also be sending them to you. I'm not sure I've been doing that. Maybe I haven't been doing that. I've sent them to the PNB and to, and I'll continue sending them to the PNB. I'm talking about the ones I'm making to the PNB, and I will send it to the National Election Committee list. I may not have done that. I can't even remember. I was, the past decisions, they certainly will be. God, I don't know. I'm dealing with present decisions now at all stations. Every station has some type of challenges that are going on that I'm trying to work with. Anything I make now will be sent to your list and to the PNB list. Anything in the past I will start putting together and doing what with? I guess trying to get that the PNB, work with Pete to get the PNB server up so that they can be on there. I can't give a timeline for that. I'm behind on that anyway. Terribly behind. So the present ones I can promise you I'll send out. And I have been sending them to the PNB. The past ones, the only thing I can say is I will try as soon as possible to get them up on the other server. Next week should be a little breathing space for me. I have one station to take care of, but only one station to get ready for sending out ballots. And that's a big, big difference.
Carolyn, were your questions responded to?
I had to go offline. I disconnected myself briefly, so I didn't hear the answer on publications of decisions and so on, but perhaps someone else can tell me if that was responded to. I do wonder, though, about the WBAI situation and the deduping. Can you do for the other? You said three stations were done manually or just KPFA?
Basically just KPFA. There were some attempts at other stations, but it got way too difficult because of the timeline.
Is it possible to do them now? I mean, there's time between the time the ballots are sent out and the time they're counted to certainly do that. Is it possible to do that, at least at our station, where I know the list is probably in the worst shape of any of them?
The ballots are, understand that the, you're saying remove the barcode. That would take me, oh boy, if I had to do that.
Well, it's labor intensive, but it is clerical, is it not? I mean, someone could be trained to do that.
I don't have an answer. I'd have to, I know what, It's just that right now the campaign period is really in full force. I'm just trying to think. I can't answer how I would do that right now. I just can't.
That's a response. So let's move on and give Richard the floor.
Point of information, Mr. Chair. I think Melinda was on the stack and I was on the stack as well. Are we still on the stack?
Mary, I did not have you on the stack.
I came after Melinda.
Well, Melinda is on the stack for the second time. I will place you after Serene.
Okay.
So go ahead, Richard.
Les, I was just curious about when you said if something in a candidate's statement was libelous, you would take it off. How do you determine that?
Well,
because somebody could say the most outrageous thing, and if it turned out to be true, it wouldn't be libelous.
That's correct. It has to be demonstrably false, and it has to be something that would impact the person attacked in the community at large. Both of those things have to be true, and it has to be demonstrably false. An opinion, for example, the general manager is not following the mission statement is not libelous. A statement saying that the general manager is sleeping with all of the employees, if demonstrably false, that would be libelous. Those are clear-cut things, and there are and you know as well as I do that there are less clear-cut things. And our tendency has been, because I can tell you when I went through this with the first election, that there were demonstrably false statements that people were making, and when we checked on it, we were just told it really, if we start going down that slope of checking every statement out and saying, well, we think it's false or we think we can prove it's false, this is probably not good. So the operative words for me are demonstrably false, that a concrete statement is made about what a person does and you can prove that nothing like that happened. That's what I would define as libelous.
Okay.
So it's pretty loose.
Right. Well.
And if you look at the statements on the web at these different stations, yes, it's very loose.
I will volunteer my legal time. If you have any tough questions, you can always run it by.
I will.
Okay. Well, you do, you know. I mean,
I've
litigated those cases on several occasions, so I know the law pretty well in California.
Okay, are you through, Richard?
Yeah.
There's 18 minutes left on the item. LaVarne has the floor.
Would you put me on the stack if there's any time, Carolyn, here? There you go again. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The question I had was kind of on what Les said.
Hello.
I can't hear you.
I can't hear you. You're
can you hear me now?
There's being a chime.
Hello. Mary,
yes.
Mary,
there
Mary.
You
now
are.
We can hear
Hello.
You.
Okay. All right, I'm here. Everything is okay. Take a deep breath. My question I have is kind of on what Les was talking about in terms of the list. And so you said that you did have the list you had gone in for KPFA, and you said you had people who were, I'm sorry, did you say these were the people who were on a weekend leave or, I'm sorry, who are working out traffic tickets, who did that for you?
Yeah, they were involved with that, yes.
Okay. I was just trying to understand. And the reason why this was not done at the other stations was that in terms of they, when you say it wasn't accepted or election, your election, what is it, supervisor at the other stations weren't able to actually do this, or what were the obstacles to getting this done?
Basically, the obstacles were for, you know, trying to figure out theoretically how we do this, because it hasn't been done, and I wanted, you know, it's not a simple thing of hiring a firm and they're going to dedupe it. It's a question of what are we trying to do with the sloppy handwriting, fundraising, et cetera. So we did come out, you know, it was approximately, I think we were finished about 3 weeks ago. And unfortunately, that was a little bit late because people were already dealing with other things. So some people, such as Casey, tried going through this list and sending me, you know, a variety of lists to integrate and do this with. And a little bit was done at some of the stations, and a little bit was done here, what we could do. And that's what I've been dealing with, is trying to dedupe these lists. But it's labor-intensive, and it does mean a lot of calling at a particular, you know, like basically going through and calling 1,000 people, say, in Los Angeles.
Right. I don't mean to cut you off, but less. But, I understand what you had said earlier. So, So it was too late for the other stations to get
it. Right.
But right now we're in a position where there's serious questions about the list itself. And also, let me understand when you said I have a follow up. This is on the on sending out the ballots. We have on the envelopes we have a PIN number, right?
Yes.
Is that the way it works? And on the ballot we have a PIN number, right?
Nope.
Okay, so
no PIN number on the ballot.
So what is the security for the ballots to make sure that these ballots actually came in through this envelope?
There's a PIN number on the envelope, and that's a unique, randomly generated PIN number for each person. And so the envelope will be scanned, and if it's a proper PIN number, then the ballot will be taken out and the envelope will be discarded.
Okay, so again, but the question is, what kind of security do we have what perhaps could happen is that how can we prevent ballots getting in to be counted that did not come through an envelope and scan and put into the pile?
They won't be able to.
Having it in your under lock and key, or it's the person who's doing the counting, or what?
I'm missing the question.
Well, I'm just kind of trying to think this through. That the question is that if every ballot that is received, there is a ballot, and then there is the envelope has a PIN number, it's entered in, and then this ballot is put into something.
Yes.
Okay. So my question is, what will prevent other ballots that didn't come from an envelope or but can be put into something? I mean, what will prevent that from being done?
You're saying what if a person doesn't want to return, doesn't, you know, if they put a random address on a random envelope and send it somewhere, it won't be counted?
Maybe the chair can help. Les, if you'll describe the time sequence on when ballots are opened and the physical security of the ballots in between the opening of the envelopes and their scanning.
Oh, if that's
Thank
the
you.
Question. This is this procedure is pretty tight. In other words, the ballots will not be opened until they're counted. The box will be sealed, signed by 3 people, including the local election supervisor, be sealed with tape. They won't be open until they're counted. So they're taken in to the place where they're going to be counted, and at that point, the boxes are open. This was done the last 2 times, and it'll be done the same way this time. That part is fairly concrete.
And it's
is that what you were asking?
Yeah, that's essentially, you know, what is the security on the ballot, since the ballot will not have a PIN number that you can relate back to the envelope to say that it was actually received. What will prevent ballots from entering into the box that did not actually come through
I understand.
The mail.
That's how we've been doing it, and that I think is fairly secure, which is basically there's a ballot box. The ballots are put in from the post office at the post office. They're taped. People sign over the tape, three people, and so that if the tape is torn, you can see that. And those ballots will not be open until the counting.
And what portions of this are in public view?
Well, you mean at the counting? The counting will be public view just like it's been in the last two elections.
I mean, is the separation of the envelope and the ballot within public view?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is Laverne's question answered?
I just needed to get some assurance on that. I think that's all I have for now. Thank you.
Yeah, Laverne, the same, I mean, if you've been at any of the, it's going to be exactly the same as the last two times. There's not going to be any change in that.
I think I only arrived after the counting was over, but.
Okay, okay.
Thank you.
I understand.
Don has the floor.
Thank you. Nice to talk with you, Les. My questions have to do with stations promoting and educating listeners about this election process. So I have two or three questions. I hope I'm in a public place. I hope the sound is not too bad. My first question is, in this case, were GMs and PDs given any required sequence of promotion for the election to recruit candidates and educate listener sponsors around their rights to be candidates? And also, have you ever asked for, let's say, traffic reports from a station to try to determine whether or not the station has met minimum obligations around educating and promoting the elections? And do you believe that, to the last two questions, do you believe that at least one or two of the crises that we face this time had to do with really kind of a faulty process at some stations in promoting and educating around the elections? And lastly, do you think there is in place now mandates for general managers and program directors so that they, in the next election, will know exactly what their obligation is vis-a-vis the commitment to full democratic governance and so on, so that they'll know how often and when and what they should be promoting to the listeners of the stations to get full participation?
I'll go and start from the bottom of your question up, because it, I think, answers partially the rest of your questions. And I'll start with WPFW, because I've been in contact with the general manager there since the lack of publicity. What happened there is, particularly the last week, carts were in the station. They were supposed to be played during 12 daytime hours. They were supposed to be played once an hour, as a matter of fact, the last 3 days, and they weren't played at all, or maybe, I think Akisa said, maybe once. After that happened, we got a flurry from the station after I extended the election, and the flurry of carts, mostly programmers reading them, made people aware of what was happening. The day after that, the web page had nothing of the elections on it. It was removed. So you had to, the timeline was removed, the new timeline, and all of the stuff dealing with the election was removed, and it's still not on there as we speak. Did the general manager know that there is this mandate? Absolutely he knew. I mean, that's why there was a flurry of programmers being told that they had to advertise this election. So it's an uphill battle. It just, you have to fight. At KPFT, one of the programmers went on the air in Houston, basically telling people not to vote in the election. And I've talked to Greg Gumma about this. This is, I can say it's outrageous, but there's nothing in the bylaws to say that there's anything that can be done other than put pressure on the general manager to try to do this. So I will tell you what happened at when I was doing local election supervisor at KPFA. There was no management, and it was all moral suasion. The whole thing was. In other words, working with programmers and getting them to do things, getting to know the programmers, which has to happen at every station, or you're not going to get anything done. We can say we can pass all these resolutions. That's fine. But as long as people feel that probably in the long run, nothing much is going to be done, I can come out with all these categories. Now, in terms of the carts, yes, we talked to the, when we had our meetings with the local election supervisors, we talked about, the web page, very important to have it, for example, on top of the web page, not that you have to scroll down. So we struggled to try to do that as much as we could. B, that we were talking of carts at least every few hours during that period after the nominations began. That didn't happen at any station, but it did, you know, we were able to get some kind of publicity at all the stations, but it was a struggle. And you know, we can come out with all of these things saying so many hours, so many carts, et cetera, but as long as the general manager realizes that there's probably not going to be anything done, they're not going to be fired for not following that, then the question is, what do we do then? Do I suspend the general manager? I don't have the power to do that. I'd like to.
Could I just do one quick follow-up?
Yes.
This does bring up a fundamental question that the bylaws and the foundation is committed. They are committed to democratic governance. But to have management with impunity undermine the process, if such a thing were to be done, would be totally unacceptable, and it actually places the whole future of democratic governance of the foundation in jeopardy. And therefore, the board, the PNB, we have actually passed motions requiring a specific sequence of cards, and we're taking action, because I will say that I think it puts in jeopardy the whole concept of democratic governance of Pacifica.
No question.
When you say that a general manager or a program director can, in a sense, almost ignore the process of democratic governance, and then if it collapses, it will not be because, others did not have a commitment, but it actually is in the hands of paid staff, and this is I actually supported the idea that the election should be taken out of the hands of politicians and put in the hands of a national election supervisor. I think that was smart to take it out of the hands of LSBs and the PNB. But the PNB and others will act to protect listener sponsors and their right to democratic governance. So I think this raises a very fundamental problem.
You know, I want to add to that just to make it very, very clear. And Carol could probably come in on this also if you want. In Washington, there was such a lack of support for this process that when the end of the nomination period occurred, it's September 25th, there was one listener and one staff delegate that had all their papers in. That's it. Now, folks said that my extension, which occurred a few days later, would not amount to anything because you can't take 1 week and do in 1 week, which was not done in 2 months. And yet in 1 week, we ended up with, I think, 18 candidates just in 1 week, whereas the previous 2 months. And so the question would be, why is this? And that's because this occurred just after the PNB met, and I think there was some fear on the part of management of WPFW that something would happen, and so immediately the whole station was put on notice that you are going to support this process, and they did. And so in 1 week, you had all of these candidates coming out. What would have happened if, you know, you didn't have to have that much of a push, but just some general over and over again during that 2 months. I mean, you would have the community involved, which is the whole part of this process, is to get the community involved, both running for candidates and running and looking at the station saying, this is active support of the station, and having management and staff say these elections show active support for the station, looking at it that way rather than saying, what is this necessary evil that we have to deal with? What is this devil?
This is Carol Wolf. Can I come in now?
Not yet. In fact, Carol, you were not on the stack. I will place you after Mary. Don, has your questions been responded to? Well, I think they have been. So.
Yes, this is Don. I was on mute. Thank you. Yes, that does conclude my portion. Yeah.
Okay, Serena,
point of procedure. Point of procedure, if I may.
Yeah. Go ahead, Carolyn.
I believe we are out of time. I'd like to move to extend for 30 minutes.
There is no approved agenda. A motion to extend is not required.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Serene, you have the floor. Serene Roberts has the floor. Serene appears to be unavailable. She'll be recognized.
No, I'm right here. Hello.
Okay, go ahead.
I actually wouldn't mind if Carol just wanted to come in since it was the tail end of what Les just said. So I would switch places with her. She's after Mary.
She is after Mary.
I'll switch.
If there's no objection, I'll switch Carol and Serene.
This is Carol Wolf. I just wanted to come in because Les had asked if I wanted to speak at this time because he's talking about WPFW. I have to say that at this point, I'm mystified and frustrated. Les and Ikezo and Ron and Jane and I had a conference call last Tuesday and laid out several things that needed to be done, one of which was to put the election first and foremost on the web page. We had that call on Tuesday, and it still hasn't happened, and I don't know why. So I just wanted to say that that's the state. We have another conference call on Tuesday. What I hear from our general manager is that he needs specific wording. I know for a fact that sometimes it's been given. In other times, I don't know if the specific wording has been given or not. But we had lined up the correct person who deals with the website at WPFW to work with Ikezo, and I don't know where it connect for that to be up between last Tuesday and now, and we'll just keep working it, trying to figure out where it happened. But there's no question in my mind that it's not where it should be, and that publicity and support at the station would have made all the difference in our making the first deadline.
Thank you, Carol. Did you have any questions for the election supervisor?
No.
Then Mary has the floor.
Yes, I had. Mine is going back to the issue of people calling on talk shows, even if they don't give their name or if they give a false name, and the name is well known. I've always thought this was a no-no, and I think we've treated it that way in the elections at KPFA.
Nope.
I would be, well...
No, we haven't, actually.
Well, I don't know that it happened, but I thought that was certainly the intent. It's obvious if someone knows the voice, and people know who knows their voice, some people are quite well known, that would certainly be objectionable, and I don't see how that could be found otherwise. Maybe the thing hasn't come up, but if you say there's a loophole there, I think we should close it up, actually. That doesn't seem appropriate. And... I have a question, too, about if we say no station resources were used indirectly, and you mentioned a staff person earlier, a staff person, by the way, presumably off air and not using resources, acting as an individual, presumably just as a listener, as an LSB member or an LSB chair can give an opinion, I presume.
Yes.
As to what they think.
Yes.
If they use their position, I'm not so sure that's acceptable. And again,
people do it all the time.
Because the bylaws don't have anything there, but I think our procedural manual ought to address that. It seems to me unfair advantage if people use their position within Pacifica, whether paid or unpaid, or LSB or PNB, to put out endorsements. That's really not fair. Even if there's nothing right now that says it's not.
Okay, I'd like to answer that.
Yes.
Because this is that part's clear cut. The other part, I think we should look at a little bit. But the part that you're mentioning is clear cut. Yes, life is unfair. my role is not to make life fair. Part of the life being unfair is people have positions. They've worked, in different organizations, and they have positions. They're heads of organizations. They're chairs of LSBs, whatever. There is nothing wrong with a person putting out a position off the station saying, for identification purposes, here's my position. That's called free speech. Straight out. We've always used that. I would argue we have to continue using that. The fact of the matter is that people do different types of work, and when they endorse candidates, it's because they've had these different positions. This happens in every election of any sort.
Mary, have your questions been responded to?
Never. Well, okay, we differ on that, and I don't think the thing has come up before, so there hasn't been legislation about it, but you were going to comment on the other point, or were you?
The point about the being on the radio?
Yes, when it's clear-cut that the person is recognizable, that everybody's going to know who it is, whether they give their own name or a false name or no name, I don't see how that changes the situation. And it seems to me very simple. If they simply
actually,
don't
the reason
do that,
that I,
then
the
there's
reason,
no gray area.
I'm sorry. The reasoning that Ted gave was one of the things we have talked about in the past, that this is accessible to all the candidates. In the past, because this happened in the past and I had to deal with it, in the past, if people just called up and did not give their name, we have let it slide. I'm not sure I'm happy with that, and I'm willing to take opinions on it. But that's what we've done. Now,
okay.
I'm open to changing that, and we should have some discussions of that because it's. I agree with your feelings. I'm just not sure. Well,
can I get on the stack? This is Ted.
That, so. Thank you,
Ted. Ted's at the bottom of the stack. Serene now has the floor.
Okay. Thanks. Question with regard to the point that Melinda raised about someone being removed or removing themselves from the election process before the balloting is complete, although they're printed on the ballot. And I understand what you said about redistributing those votes. But did I understand her to say that if a contentious person is removed from the process as opposed to voluntarily resigning?
Well, it doesn't make any difference. Wait, there's two different things here. I was answering, if a person's removed, what would happen? That was my answer. Now you're saying,
is it not hypothetical? Is there someone who is being removed from the process against their will?
Not that I know.
That's one. On the issue of gift membership, I know that we've talked about it in this committee, and I still maintain that to sort of, flip on something that we've promoted over the years without any mechanism to have those people who were the recipient of gift memberships, somehow personally avow their interest in being part of the station, which is all my $25 donation would do. But if I sent the money to BAI because I needed a tax deduction, no one questions my sincerity. But if my sister pays the $25 because I'm broke, suddenly I have to reaffirm that I really am interested. But we don't have a process for that reaffirmation, and it seems to me to be really unfair to, after the fact, say, well, you can't really be a member because you didn't pay the money yourself. But even worse now is that we're sending ballots out to people, and we're going, or at least there's talk about going around the other side and saying, well, I know you got that ballot, but it doesn't really count because you didn't send that check in yourself. But I have some serious concerns about that. And I don't know that the suggestion, I think I heard a member make a statement that there was some talk about gift membership not being on the pledge cards of WBAI. anyone who comes in to volunteer would know that, in fact, they're there. I don't think anyone, any serious person would deny that. I mean, I'm assuming many board members do come in to volunteer, and I'm assuming this is true at other stations, to take calls. But like I said, the quickest glance at the cards will show that is there. How many of those are actually used? Are they used properly? Can people understand the difference between when someone uses it as an alternate shipping address, which is the same box, same thing that box is also used for? So there are a number of things to consider when you're talking about the designation of gift membership, right? So I have some serious concerns about simply using an arbitrary or a not well-informed, and it seems there's a lack of information about even the basic stuff that's on the pledge cards, about using a sort of blanket process to exclude people who have every right to participate. I have a lot of concerns about that. With regard to KPFA, did you say there were 25,000 duplicates? I'm sorry, 2,500 duplicates?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 2,500 okay, so what, please?
Cases.
We went from approximately 28,500 to 26,000, just taking care of duplicates by calling them up.
Okay. And I believe there was some deduping done at KPFA, so I'm actually kind of surprised at this number because I know that there was actually a sort of query, which is how you get information out of MEMSIS, that was used by someone associated with the department, the membership department at KPFA previously, that caught a lot of dupes. So I'm kind of confused as to how they got back in there or what. But I do think the deduping can be done, and it is very labor-intensive. And
I'll try to give quick answers. Should I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or quick opinions, whatever you want to call them. On the deduping, in the past, we used the query. That's not sufficient. And the reason it's not sufficient is because things are really messed up with many of these lists because of the way they come in. So people will call in to a fund drive, and they say, I'm giving $25, and my name is Blibbity Blob. And then they'll call in 2 months later, give $25, and they'll give it.
Mm-hmm.
It's written down slightly different. Query doesn't catch that. The only way to catch it is to go through by hand, printing out
dropped off, so I missed the... I wasn't finished, but I take it you started saying something.
Oh, you weren't finished. Go ahead and finish.
Okay. Les, are you there?
Yes, yes.
I guess since you started the answer, you can go ahead, and then I'll get back to where I was.
Okay, so the query doesn't answer the question, and there was some reduction, but not to the extent that we did when we... I was quite surprised at the extent of duplicates, but it does have to be done by hand, and it has to be done by, basically scanning this entire list and then printing out these dupes, which was not done in the past. There were two other things that I understood you to bring up. One had to do with mailing lists in general. I am not very excited about going back and rethinking and reduping the mailing list at this point. I'm not at all excited about it. But on the gift memberships, the reason why I made the ruling is because it seems very clear about two things. Gift memberships at many stations, I believe, for example, at the LA station, membership brings with it like a card. You can get discounts at different places and things like that. And so you have, things associated with the gift membership. But voting is a very different thing. And what the bylaws state is a person gives money. It doesn't say gives or is given money by somebody else. And that's a very direct, it's a direct verb. And as a result, I made the ruling that people who get gift memberships are not part of the voter registration drive. They are people who, if there's any other advantages to membership in the station, get those, but not voting rights. And that still stands.
Hmm.
Les, the last word we heard was "and," which implies that you have something more to say.
Oh, and that still stands. That ruling still stands. That the person, I'm sorry, I must have dropped out here. Anyway, the ruling about the GIF memberships is that the GIF membership does not constitute a membership for voting rights, because the bylaws state for voting rights a person has to give so much money or volunteer so much money. It's a direct verb, and it does not apply to a person who receives something from somebody else. That's the basis of the ruling on GIF memberships.
Serene, have your questions been responded to?
Yes.
Okay.
Just now, so I actually missed what you were saying about the GIF members. It's really important, so I'm sorry. Could you? I've moved to what I hope is a better spot. Can you repeat that?
Yeah. The GIF membership, at some stations, membership means more than voting rights. But for purposes of voting rights, the bylaws read that the person gives or volunteers, not that they're given anything, but they give. That's the essence of the voting rights. And as a result, that's why I rule that GIF membership...
I can't hear at all, so I'm trying to get outside.
That GIF memberships, therefore, do not constitute giving a person voting rights. That ruling stands, and I've circulated that around, and I will post that if I get this web page fixed up.
Okay. Is there a member? There are three people remaining on the stack. Is there a member who has not spoken on this issue and wishes to, other than the chair? Okay. Les, I'll just point out that I have a contrary opinion regarding call-in shows, which I will resend to you in email.
Okay, good.
I'm bothered.
I'm bothered.
Yeah,
I've been bothered by this. I think you should send it out to everybody.
Yeah. I think you should.
Okay, I'll do that.
Well, may I, since one member of the committee has weighed in on this, I think that this is very inappropriate to not discuss this thing right here as a committee. And I think that it's not going to be the decision of the election supervisor. It's going to be the decision of the LSB based upon input from this board. Les's position is temporary. His recommendations will probably come to us. And I think we all need to discuss this issue in an open forum, not via email.
Well, the member is out of order, but he's at the bottom of the stack, so you can continue this discussion when you're recognized. Currently, Melinda is recognized.
Melinda?
Hey, it's Richard. Could you put me on the stack again?
Yeah.
And, Terry, this is Serena. I actually lost my signal amazingly after 2 hours of everyone else's questions as he was answering mine, so I'd like to get back on, please.
Okay. Melinda?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Essentially, first of all, I have a comment and then I have a question, okay? The comment I had was, as I was actually at APFT station, as I was in the last two elections for when the packets were received, I can testify to the fact, because I was there, that we received nothing by email that was accepted as a signature. We had facsimile representations, but no effort above and beyond the call of duty was done for any one candidate that was not done for others. Myself, I went to several places, including an Amy Goodman event, in which various people, when they would come up and they were looking for signatures, I never once refused a signature, and I actually encouraged everyone to sign them. I would say, okay, hey, why don't you sign it too? You know, and I did that for everybody, and the same was true on that day as well. We wanted to make sure everyone was given an opportunity, and I wanted that to be understood. No one was given an unfair advantage. The fact is that anything would have been accepted till midnight. That's been stated over and over again. My questioning I have is in reference to, as a PMB Elections Committee member, in reference to Fair Campaign. What I want to know is how you would feel, Les, about a complaint which is being put out on the Internet by a member of the PMB Elections Committee, in which they put their name down and put that they are a member of the Elections Committee as an endorsement. And that's a complaint from one candidate about others, and this person put their name down, and they put down that they were a member of the PMB Elections Committee.
That's legal.
I don't see how.
But I mean, if it's a fact that they're a member of the PNB Elections Committee,
okay. What
that's legal.
Inaccuracies. There were inaccuracies, glaring inaccuracies on there.
Mm-hmm.
And this person, in fact, I know that a couple of them, they would know that they were inaccurate. And that right there, you said that you wanted us, it was okay if we said something that was accurate and validatable, but if there's something on there which is extremely wrong. I mean,
I said it the other way around. It has to be demonstrably untrue.
Okay. Well, hey, it's real easily demonstrably untrue, the fact that I didn't count the ballots at our last LSB election, and I'm not going to be counting them this time. That's pretty easily demonstrable.
That's pretty easy. That's a very concrete thing, and is demonstrable. I agree with you.
And guess what? That was on there. That was as part of why they were. That was proof of this person as to how, in quotes, that we were biased. Is that I count the votes? Well, I don't do that.
Okay. Just this. You know, I did read one thing from you. That wasn't on there. Just send an. The form to me, and I'll look at it.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to be back on the stack as well.
Okay, Melinda, has your question been responded to?
Yes, in fact, it has, and I thank you.
Okay, Carolyn is recognized.
Thank you. I want to clarify something about the question that the member brought up about the pledge cards at WBAI. I did say that, in fact, the current cards do have on them provision for checking off a gift membership, and the general manager had said at one point that would be taken off because we determined that it was illegal to have that phrasing on there. But it is still on the cards, and so it still can be gotten to if the cards are needed to use it. I don't think this committee did propose a process. The reason we wanted a list of all those people who had received gift memberships was so that we could send them a letter. That was the work group's task. To devise a letter to send them and ask them if they would like to regularize the situation somehow. And that was the process. So it's not quite correct to say that there was no process that was proposed. There was indeed one, but we didn't have any data on who was on the on that list. Okay, a couple of other questions for Les. And again, you can just answer these at the end if you like. The question of logs for the carts. Do the producers and the general managers know that they should be keeping logs and that you have to collect them, and how often will you be collecting logs just to make sure they're being played and not, you know, deep-sixed somewhere or ignored? Second question is, if in fact it's going to take money I doubt that the police department in New York is going to let people work off their parking tickets at our station. Mm-hmm. If it's going to take money to do the manual deduping, would it help if this committee voted to pay for that if it's not in your budget? The third question is, if there are challenges to a board member's status, for instance, if they have suddenly gone on the air and changed from being a listener to what could be a staff member, or vice versa, they're a staff member who has stopped working as a staff or never did, and should be reclassified as a listener member, how would that seat be filled if that person were removed from that position? They were voted in under one category. Now they've changed categories. The board says they must immediately be moved from their position, but how will that seat be filled?
I'm sorry.
One more last question. Is the station list, the mailing list that members can use if they send things to a mailing house and so on, is that considered a station resource?
I hope so.
Okay, those are my questions.
These are pretty clear-cut questions. even though the answer to the first one about logs may not sound that my answer is clear, but it's a, I can give you what I consider a clear-cut answer. The logs are a mess. There are very, I don't know of any station that really has, well, none have exemplary logs on these carts. When it was a huge struggle when I was doing the work at KPFA to get good logs. And it turns out that what happens is often there are just periods where they're sort of forgotten about, and then later on they're kind of filled in with what should have been happening on the air instead of what really is happening. Mm. And then there are periods where the logs are kept very well. So it has to do with how many other things are going on in the station. It's seen as something that's in the background that should be done, and often is done well, and sometimes it's just sort of a mess. So when we've gone back and tried to use these logs for the carts to determine whether, in fact, there's been a violation of the Fair Campaign Pledge, it's been somewhat difficult because I know people will listen to this thing and say, I know full well so-and-so wasn't on all day, and yet the cart log says they were because they were supposed to be run, but yet somebody pushed the wrong button and somebody else's voice was on, and sometimes they do it and that the same voice is on for three times. It is a problem. That's my clear-cut answer, that it's a problem.
Okay.
I can't, we have to pull back and do this. I think a lot of this stuff has been ignored, and when you read the past reports, you're going to find certain things are missed. They're not even mentioned, partially because it's sort of there's a sloppy thing that goes on there, and what we have to do is to make sure it's unsloppy. The thing about the manual deduping, I think it's not a big deal in general for the station, because let's say they send three fundraising letters to the same person. I mean, this is the theory behind much of MemSys. If you send three fundraising letters to a person, well, maybe one of them, they'll send back. Nonetheless, it would be helpful for the stations to actually go through and do this debugging. We're not talking of a tremendous expense. We really aren't. We're talking about having some part-time person for a couple of weeks grind through this list and straightening it up. And it certainly should be done before the next election, because it helps us. We know how many members we have, for one thing. We know we don't have X number of members. We have a different number of members. It gives us some good benchmarks to look at. So I would argue with the different membership people at the stations that this is a good thing for the station in general. You want to know how many members you have. You want to know what's happening to this membership list. This is not a huge amount of money that we're going to be spending for this. It's more on the hundreds of dollars, and every station can afford the hundreds of dollars. Let's see, the challenge to the board on member status, this may surprise you. The bylaws, and you can look at this, the bylaws don't have any provision what happens when it changes. You are elected to the board with a membership status. Let's say you're a staff person, and let's say you quit the staff. It turns out that, this is something that I looked at because we had a case exactly like this. It turns out if you are staff and you go into the listener category, that doesn't change your position on the board, not until your term is over, because you are elected to the board for that particular thing. Folks, check the bylaws. So you're elected as a listener and you become staff, you're still a listener person. You're elected as a staff person, you become a listener, you're still a staff person. There are some things where you're immediately removed. So, for example, you're elected to the board, and then you're elected to city council. The bylaws are very clear. You're removed from the board, period. Or you're not in either category, then you're also removed from the board. But if you change your status, you're still on the board for the remainder of the term. And your fourth one was, is the station What did you say about...
Is the station list considered a resource?
Is that considered a resource?
People using that. In other words, does it come under the... Do things sent out using the station list come under the Fair Campaign provision?
Well, that is pretty clear in the bylaws that everybody has access to that list, and they can send out what they want using that list. So in that sense, our tradition has been that we can't limit how that list is used if it's used for reasonable purposes, and getting elected is a reasonable purpose. So that's been the ruling up to this point. It would be interesting to try to change that ruling, but right now it's considered legitimate for anybody to be able to use that station list as long as they pay for it.
No, I'd like to, let me clarify my question, if I may. Does the material sent out under that list come under the Fair Campaign ruling, endorsements and so on, and language? I know your libelous and so on, your other criteria are something else, but demonstrably the fact that statements have to be either libelous or demonstrably false. Do those criteria apply to material sent out on the list, on the station list? You need to think about that one.
Gee, and here I'm running for president, and I know the answer to the question. Up to this point, let me put it this way, there have been these mailings, and up to this point, we've just, the mailings are, a copy is given to the general manager.
Well, I know that. That's not allowed.
Yeah. What?
I know they're not censored or vetted. That's not allowed. They're just given pro forma, not for editing or proof.
Right.
But my question really has to do with whether the Fair Campaign provisions apply to that, to the material on that list.
While
you're thinking about that, let me go back to...
I'm not going to answer it right now. I have to think of what the implications of that are, because...
The member seems to be requesting a ruling.
I'm saying that I'll be happy to wait for one that's thought through. But I do want to clarify, if I may, one follow-up. The question of the deduping procedure, the manual deduping procedure, you said it should be done before the next election, but... My question was, can it be done at WBAI especially, if, and not at all the stations where it hasn't been done, before the ballots are counted? I think you indicated that you wanted to consider that also.
I'm very uncomfortable with that, and I'll try. I'm going to look and see if this is... I'm going to delay an answer to that. I really feel uncomfortable doing it at this point, given that these things are out.
People are given ballots.
I almost feel that it would be unfair to have people sending in their ballots and then not even knowing whether they're counted or not. Ooh, that would be wrong.
Well, I would like to make it very clear that I would consider it extremely wrong to have a list go out that had not been cleaned this way. And I would really consider challenging the validity.
I would argue that all the lists that have gone out have been that way.
And that is my, except KPFA's. And the fact that it was done at one station and not at the others.
I'm talking about historically, I think, all the lists.
Okay. Well, I'm just talking about this election,
and I'm very
uncomfortable and happy with that. Considering all the problems at our station, between that and the gifts, I think we have a very serious problem with the validity of our list at BAI. And I'm not speaking for the other stations now, because I'm not sure where they stand. But anyway, just so you know where I'm coming from on that question.